Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace be unto you and peace from God the Father, through the Lord Jesus Christ, in the communion of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing together of Psalter 417, the stanzas 1 and 2. Send forth, O Lord, of my salvation, thy light and truth to be my guide. O let their rays in my privation lead me unto thy habitation. And what follows, Psalter 417, the stanzas 1 and 2.
Thank you.
the portion out of God's holy word, which we wish to read together, can be found in Zechariah 4. And afterwards from the Confession of Faith, Article 27. Zechariah 4. And the angel that talked with me came again and waked me as a man that is wakened out of his sleep, and said unto me, What seest thou? And I said, I have looked, and behold, a candlestick, all of gold, with a bowl upon the top of it, and his seven lamps thereon, and seven pipes to the seven lamps, which are upon the top thereof. And two olive trees by it, one upon the right side of the bowl, and the other upon the left side thereof. So he answered and spake to the angel that talked with me, saying, What are these, my Lord? Then the angel that talked with me answered and said unto me, And knowest thou not what these be? And I said, No, my Lord. Then he answered and spake unto me, saying, This is the word of the Lord unto Zerubbabel, saying, Not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. Who art thou, O great mountain, before Zerubbabel? Thou shalt become a plain, and he shall bring forth the headstone thereof with shoutings, crying, Grace, grace unto it. Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, The hands of Zerubbabel have laid the foundation of this house. His hands shall also finish it, and thou shalt know that the Lord of hosts has sent me unto you. For who hath despised the day of small things? For they shall rejoice and see the plummet in the hand of Zerubbabel with those seven. They are the eyes of the Lord, which run to and fro through the whole earth. Then answered I and said unto him, What are these two olive trees upon the right side of the candlestick and upon the left side thereof? And I answered again and said unto him, What be these two olive branches, which through the two golden pipes empty the golden oil out of themselves? And he answered me and said, Knowest thou not what these be? And I said, No, my Lord. Then said he, These are the two anointed ones that stand by the Lord of the whole earth. The Confession of Faith, Article 27, the Catholic Christian Church. We believe and profess one Catholic or universal church, which is a holy congregation of two true Christian believers, all expecting their salvation in Jesus Christ, being washed by his blood, sanctified and sealed by the Holy Ghost. The church hath been from the beginning of the world and will be to the end thereof. which is evident from this, that Christ is an eternal King, which without subjects he cannot be. And this holy church is preserved or supported by God against the rage of the whole world, though she sometimes, for a while, appears very small, and in the eyes of men to be reduced to nothing, as during the perilous reign of Ahab, when nevertheless the Lord reserved unto him 7,000 men who would not bow their knees to Baal. Furthermore, this holy church is not confined, bound, or limited to a certain place or to certain persons, but is spread and dispersed over the whole world, and yet is joined and united with heart and will by the power of faith in one and the same Spirit. Let us try to ask the Lord for his blessing. Lord, we have heard out of thy holy word of the building of the temple, and from the writings of our fathers based upon thy holy word, that there is one Catholic, a Christian church, a church that has been from the beginning of the world, and a church that will be to the end thereof. Then also in this day, notwithstanding all the enemies and the onslaughts of the Prince of Darkness, to destroy thy church and to remove it from the face of the earth, then thou still hast a church upon the earth to that end. We may still gather in this afternoon around about thy holy testimony, because there is still a church to be gathered. A great privilege, a great blessing, to be under the external administration of the covenant of grace, to in thy providence to be born under the truth. But that is too short for eternity. Oh, it is true. It increases our responsibility. And now thou hast promised under thy word, under the proclamation thereof, that thou shalt gather, comfort, and preserve thy church. We have heard of that eternal King that has many subjects, Lord. Then by the work of thy Holy Spirit we need to be wrought upon, that we may be a living member of that living church with that living King. In the multitude of the King's followers, therein lies the King's glory. To that end, we humbly ask of thee that thou may bless thy holy word to that end in this hour, that new ones may be born in Zion, that new ones may be added as lively stones to that spiritual temple, and that for the glorification of thy great and worthy name. Then we have heard the description of that true church. Then different marks were mentioned. May there have been amongst us that have sent a sigh unto heaven, O Lord. Those are the blessings I so desire. Those are the blessings I seek for. Those are the blessings I cannot grasp. But those are the blessings which are proclaimed in thy holy word. May it please thee to grant them also in this afternoon hour. Wilt thou grant the further leadings in the life of thy children? Then we have heard that the church, that they shall come from all peoples, from all nations, from all languages. The old John has seen it so in a vision on the island Patmos, and therefore the calling that thy holy word may be brought to the ends of the earth, to that end our denomination may have our mission field in Bolivia, thy servants the team, the seed of thy word may be sown, a wealth of grander rich in gathering. That church also cometh from the Jewish nation, even in the latter days of the earth, even promises in thy word that great number shall be turned unto thee. Wilt thou then bless thy word, open the understanding, and above open the hearts, that that enmity may be broken, and that they may learn that the Messiah has come, the only name under heaven, whereby we must be saved. Wilt thou continue to uphold the persecuted church in so many different places upon the world, but remove not the candlestick of thy holy word from the established churches. We and our children give thee so many reasons to do so, so little acknowledgement and thankfulness for the special blessings which thou hast left amongst us. We have become so like unto the world, the candlestick in its external form and administration has become so dim. The prophet has said the same in the days of old, that it may please thee in these serious times, when thy judgments are hanging so low over the earth, may we become troubled and alarmed, and may we be given to seek for a hiding place, to beg that we may receive a place under the banner of the chiefest of 10,000s, thy dear Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Then it shall be well. It is true there are many trials and many difficulties in this time, but for thy church, then it shall be well. Then at the end, then they shall be taken out of the church militant, and that they shall be carried up into the church triumphant, and there forever to be white, without spot, without blemish, and then forever to cast the crown at the feet of the Lamb, to sit at that marriage table, and forever to sing thy praises with all the saints, and with the great multitude of angels, and that forever and ever, O Lord, impress upon all our hearts, that if we do not belong to thy church, if we do not become by thy Spirit, by thy grace, a living member thereof, then there shall be no place in heaven, and then our eternal abode shall be in hell, and then to have to curse thee forever and ever, O Lord. Wilt thou then work lovingly and irresistibly by thy Spirit? We have heard out of thy word, not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. than in the realm of nature, then thou causest the wind to blow. May the wind of thy Holy Spirit blow lovingly and irresistibly amongst us and our dear children. Wilt thou remember all the needs, remember the sick and afflicted, remember all with sick relatives, the different circumstances. They are known unto thee, we commend them unto thee, for body and for soul. Remember the elderly ones, remember our Bethesda, all the residents, and those that may lovingly care for them. May it please thee to blow lovingly with thy Spirit among young and old, the elderly still in their dwellings. Wilt thou remember all the mourning ones, widowers, widows, those that have brought children and dear ones to the grave. Remember the orphans. We commend all the handicapped ones unto thee, difficulties of the body and difficulties of the mind. Oh, above all things, many times cannot be different, that they shall be discouraged, but may their eyes be upon thee, and may they be given to experience by thy grace above all things, to be discouraged with themselves above all things, to save their never-dying souls. Lord, wilt thou grant a few words to speak? Open thy word, open our mouth, open our hearts, open our understanding. May thy word go forth with power divine in thy house and in the dwellings, grant a holy attention. Wilt thou bind the devil? May the cares, all the cares of the earth, may they be placed aside. May we be given to listen as the God of heaven that is speaking unto us, Lord. Ah, we have nothing to plead upon. We are sinners, which sin in so many ways, in thoughts, in words, and in deed. It is so necessary that that becomes and that remains our grief, and the realization that they need to be washed away in the precious blood of thy dear Son, in whose name we pray. Amen. Psalter 216, the stanzas 3 and 4. Oh, how long against thy people shall thy anger burn, O Lord? On thy enemies, the heathen, be thy indignation poured. And what follows? 216, 3 and 4. in this afternoon hour, with the help of the Lord, we wish to ask your attention for our text words, which you can find in Zechariah 4, the verses 6 and 7, where God's word and our text reads thus. Then he answered and spake unto me, saying, this is the word of the Lord unto Zerubbabel, saying, not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. Who art thou, O great mountain, before Zerubbabel? Thou shalt become a plain, and he shall bring forth the headstone thereof with shoutings, crying, grace, grace unto it. Our text words speak of the fifth night vision of Zechariah, of the seven golden candlesticks, with five thoughts. In the first place, the puzzling sight in this vision. Secondly, the necessary encouragement in this vision. Thirdly, the promised completion in this vision. Fourthly, the tender exhortation in this vision. And fifthly, the declared mystery in this vision. The fifth night vision of Zechariah, of the seven golden candlesticks. The puzzling sight, as we read it in the first five verses. The necessary encouragement in the verses 6 and 7. The promised completion, the verses 8 and 9. The tender exhortation in verse 10, and the declared mystery in the verses 11 through 14. This first, the puzzling sight in this vision. Beloved congregation, when we continue to consider and meditate upon the night visions which the Lord has given to the prophet Zechariah, then we must continually remember the condition and the circumstances of the remnant that has returned from Babylon to the land of Canaan, where they have begun to build a temple. But then we read in Ezra 4 that there have been those that have sent a complaint to the king of the Medes and the Persian, and they have said that in the history it is evident that Jerusalem, they were a rebellious people, and alas, that was true. And to that end, the great king of the greatest kingdom of the earth in that day has sent a letter to the remnant that they must immediately cease from rebuilding the temple. But then we have heard in this book that the Lord has raised up two prophets. What a privilege and what a blessing, because what that must have been for that remnant that has returned when they have begun to rebuild the temple, lay the foundation. Then we read in Ezra 3, that the elderly ones have wept, and the youth was given to greatly rejoice. They have heard so much of that former temple from former generations, a token that the Lord was mindful of them, hoping that that temple would soon be finished, and that for the young men, when they came of age, the Levites, the house of Aaron, that they may receive a place in that temple. And now it has all come to a standstill. Then we have heard in former times, that is a picture of oftentimes a child of God hoping to go from strength to strength, and where it can become so still, covered by the dust, that in the family circles, that in the congregation, that the question can even come, has the Lord now truly made a beginning? But what a blessing when the Lord may work through. And so we read in the history of the children of Israel, that he has sent to prophets the prophet Haggai, who has commanded that they must commence with that rebuilding. Oh, then the remnant had to choose whether to obey the King of Kings or to obey the mighty King of the Medes and the Persians, because those two commandments, they were so contrary, opposite one another, but they were given to commence, but with many fears, with many questions, because that letter, that decree, has not been retracted. Oh, it cannot be different that many times, that in the distance they have looked, whether the enemy was approaching. Oh, let us hope that in the dwellings while those builders were rebuilding, that there have been those that have went on their knees and that have cried mightily to the Lord, that it may prosper all in his hand. And now the prophet Zechariah has already seen many wonderful things. I think, children, maybe you can remember the first four visions. The first one, the man upon the red horse, the Lord Jesus Christ, in the midst of the myrtle trees, thus a vision that stresses the presence of the Lord with his people. He shall never forget, he shall never forsake them. Oh, then the second vision, oh, a privilege to experience that presence, tokens of the loving kindness of the Lord, tokens that the Lord knows of us. But there are so many enemies, we have heard it from the confession of faith of that one true church. The enemies of the church, oh, the devil has tried for 6,000 years to do away with that church. And many times she becomes very small and she becomes dim, but there shall always be a church. And then should it not be our continual prayer and the concern of us and our children, that by the free grace of God, that we may be a living member of that living church with that living King? Oh, here it is true. The Israelites, the remnant, has experienced that it is a church militant, that the battles are manifold. Oh, the battle with that triple-headed enemy. But, oh, at the end it shall not be forever. And therefore, Church of God, keep courage. It is but a tribulation of 10 days, and the victory lies sure in the King of the Church, where he has defeated the prince of darkness on the cross on Calvary. And therefore, there shall continue to be a church. And now that second vision, oh, then we repeat it, how the heart of Zechariah must have become like a bottle of wine ready to burst, a desire to go to those builders and to tell them what the Lord has spoken, that the temple shall be rebuilt. but what about those enemies, those four horns that can seem so terrible and so frightening we have no strength? But then the prophet was given to see four carpenters. We have heard it. It does not say great and strong carpenters. The Lord uses the weakest means, his purpose to fulfill. The Lord knoweth the end from the beginning. Oh, then concerning the church, concerning Zion, boys and girls, do you remember the third vision? A man with a measuring tape, and that he has staked out that large city. Oh, then it was clear to the prophet that there was still room in that city. So there is room for us and our children. If we do not receive a place, it is because we will not. It is true, we need the grace of God, but that we will not. Oh, may we be given to ask that we may be made a willing people by the work of the Spirit in the day of His power, that we may receive a little place in the church, even a little tent, even as a little lamb. But our children can understand that a little lamb is just as much a part of the flock as the biggest sheep, as the biggest ram. Yea, many times that those little lambs, that they receive the most care, the most love, that they are picked up oftentimes. And then we have seen the last time, oh, Joshua with his filthy garments, and that he received a change of garments, that he became clean, that the mitre was set upon his head with that golden plate, holiness to the Lord. But now it could be the question for that Joshua the high priest, because our children can understand the high priest. If he had no temple, it is true, the altar was built in the seventh month, but to fully fulfill the services of the high priest, then the temple needed to be rebuilt. And would that now ever take place? Or then I hear some say, but of course, because the Lord has commanded and the Lord has promised that it would be fulfilled. But oh, in the life of the church, what a questions and what an impossibility. It is true, when they may embrace that promise by faith, then in a certain sense the whole temple is finished with all the furniture, and then the high priest is walking in that temple already. But then unbelief comes along, and then unbelief says, look how weak you are, and look at those filthy garments, look at your sins. Even after you believe that the Lord has begun, that you have sinned it all the way, that you have ruined it, and that you have spoiled it. But now the Lord, notwithstanding all the sins of His people, a faithful God, and then that temple shall be finished. And then we read, and the angel that talked with me came again and waked me as a man that is wakened out of a sleep. Then the question comes, the first four night visions, it is implied that they have followed one upon another in the same night. And then the question is, the fifth night vision, has that taken place the same night of those first four visions, or another night? We read that the night visions, they have begun in the 11th month, the 24th day of the 11th month, in the second year of King Darius. Then after the night visions in chapter 7, then we read of the fourth year of King Darius in the ninth month. Thus that was 22 months later. The general thought is it cannot be proven, but many believe that also this fifth night vision, that it was spoken, it was revealed to Zechariah in the same night as the first four. But then the next question shall be, because we read, the angel that talked with me came again, left for a little while, if it is the same night, possible that it was another night, and waked me as a man that is awakened out of a sleep. Then the question shall be, but how is it now possible the prophet Zechariah has seen such wonderful things, maybe a soul in my midst that thinks, if the Lord would now speak to me those wonderful things and four visions in a night, then I would not sleep, but then I would sing with as loud as I could the praises of the Lord, that I was be given to sing, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. Oh, then I would be given to be wonder the mercies of the Lord, that he has been so mindful of me, and that he has promised the good work that he has begun, that he shall fulfill it. Oh, if I would experience the fourth night vision, what a Joshua has experienced, that I may receive those new garments, that I may be justified, then I would be the happiest person upon the earth. No, then surely it would never take place that night I would fall asleep. The church, they have mortal bodies. Our mortal bodies, they cannot withstand the great wrath of God. But on the other hand, they cannot withstand when the Lord pours out too much love upon them. 'Tis not written possible another night. 'Tis possible that is Zechariah in his bewilderment, in his meditation, in his amazement, that he is dozed off, and to that end, that the Lord has awakened him out of a sleep. What a blessed and what a privileged prophet can be so long, the times that lie in between, that the Lord speaks unto his people, and that especially concerning a further leading. Ah, the Lord is not a land of outer darkness. Lord shall continue to uphold, encourage his people, grant tokens of his love, being able to glean a little bit, opening at the throne of grace. But now concerning a special blessings and special leadings. And said unto me, what seest thou? And I said, I have looked, and behold, a candlestick all of gold with a bowl upon the top of it, and a seven lamps thereon, and seven pipes to the seven lamps which are upon the top thereof. Where did we find the candlestick in the temple, boys and girls? That was in the holy place. Three pieces of furniture. The golden altar of incense, the golden candlestick, and the golden table of showbread. For the prophet, how he must have been amazed that it caught his attention, because when the temple was taken and also the furniture of the temple was taken to Babylon, and now when that vision, the prophet was given to see a candlestick. Oh, for a discouraged prophet, we have heard in the last vision that Joshua the high priest was silent. But for the prophets, for those that serve in the Lord's vineyard, how discouraged they can be, how discouraged they can become. And now a candlestick, when in the Bible it is called a candlestick, and not literally a candlestick, because in that piece of furniture was all of gold, a base, and seven lampstands, not to hold a candle, but there would be a wick, the seven lamps, on top of that candlestick, a bowl, and then from that bowl there were seven pipes that went to each candlestick, that the oil may flow, because we read in verse 3, and to olive trees by it, one upon the right side of the bowl, and the other upon the left side thereof. And we hope to hear of those olive trees later. Thus we shall leave it lie. Thus you can picture, children, a golden candlestick, written in the book of Exodus, made all of gold, not only covered with gold, but all of gold, a talent worth of gold, believed that the talent, a 66 pounds, thus then we can understand what a value that candlestick had, that candlestick in the holy place, it always had to burn to give light. We read in the temple of Solomon that there were 10 candlesticks. And then we read further, so I answered and spake to the angel that talked with me, saying, what are these, my Lord? That does not mean that the prophet did not know that it was the candlestick. Oh, how his thoughts must have multiplied when he saw that golden candlestick by renewal, an encouragement. Oh, let us say it this way, that vision of the candlestick that was a pledge that the temple would be finished and that the candlestick would burn by renewal in the Holy of Holies. And now when the prophet has said, what are these, my Lord? Then the prophet was not saying what that angel that talked with him. We have heard of that angel different times. That the prophet did not understand that it was a candlestick. But then the prophet was asking, Lord, what is now the meaning and the significance of this candlestick for us and our children, and also in the context of the rebuilding of the temple? Then the angel that talked with me answered and said unto me, and knowest thou not what these be? Then the angel was uncovering to Zechariah how ignorant he was. Also instruction for us and our children. Then maybe the boys and girls think how amazing it would be if the Lord would speak to us as he has done to the prophet Zechariah. And now in this afternoon, the Lord is speaking to us through that vision, the inspired word of God. And then it is so necessary. We are such bad Bible readers. and we are so ignorant and we are so blind, then we do well that we humbly beg the Lord that he may grant some light upon what we read, because our understanding that has become so darkened, and that we say to the Lord when we read a chapter, Lord, what are these, my Lord? Expression of honor, but also of authority. A golden candlestick. What does the candlestick now represent? What is it a sign of? We read in Revelation 1 also of seven golden candlesticks. And then we read in Revelations 1 verse 20 that those golden candlesticks which thou sawest, the seven candlesticks which thou sawest, they are the seven churches. Thus, what the prophet was given to see, a golden candlestick united at the base, but seven branches, all of gold. Then we could ask the question, but why would the Lord now represent the church of Jesus Christ in gold? Because if you ask the church, they are gold. We have heard in this morning of being white. Then they shall confess with the bride of the Song of Solomon, 1 verse 5. I am black. And why are they so black? Have we learned it, congregation? Have you learned that you are black? You learned to cry, to weep because of that blackness. Lord has not created us so. Paradise. Then Adam and Eve, the jewel of creation. Oh, we could say all their faculties, they were all of gold. All for the honor of their creator and their benefactor. But now through our deep fall and through our actual sins, then we have become so black, and the Lord has a people upon the earth that learns that it is so, given to agree with it. But what else do they do? They are given to cry unto the Lord, whether they may be pardoned of all their sins, because in their blackness then there is no room for them with the Lord. Oh, they learn that great breach. They learn that they need to become of gold, but a golden candlestick. That is through Christ. The Father sees no sin and no blemish in his church when he looks upon that church through his beloved Son. Thus a candlestick, all of gold, not only covered a thin layer. Other furniture was made of shittim wood and covered with gold. But the candlestick, the church, that is all of gold. That's not only a confession. The hypocrite also has a confession. But it is an inward work in the heart by the work of the Holy Spirit. That speaks of sanctification. Then that golden candlestick, seven branches, but all joined together at the base. We have heard it out of Article 27 from our Confession of Faith. Then we have heard a description of that church, the Catholic Christian Church, And then what was your thought, congregation, when we have read that article? Was it now your immediate question? Whether I now have a hope, even assurance, that I belong to that church. We believe and profess one Catholic or universal church. Those seven branches joined together, they shall come out of all nations, all peoples, all tongues. Therefore missionaries are sent forth, which is a holy congregation, not holy in themselves, black in themselves, but gold holy congregation of true. We read that word true also different times in the catechism. It can come so close. When the Lord begins, that becomes our concern. And then that people is given to beg, Lord, if it is not true. Wilt thou begin that good work today? But, Lord, all my desire is before thee. A congregation of true Christian believers. We have come to the end in our Heidelberg Catechism of the 12 articles. Each time I believe, then it is necessary that the church is led further, and the instructors, they stress the further leadings, that there may not be a resting outside of the Lord Jesus Christ, the saving knowledge, all expecting their salvation in Jesus Christ, that is that refuge-taken church, because when those daughters of Jerusalem, oh, surely when they have heard of the bride, that he was white and ruddy, the chiefest among 10,000s, then it was their vehement desire that they may receive those blessings and not being washed by the blood, by his blood sanctified and sealed by the Holy Ghost. Our second thought, the necessary encouragement in this vision, let us first sing. 253, the stanzas 7 through 10. The Lord will not cast off his own, nor his inheritance forsake. Just judgment shall at length prevail, and upright hearts shall courage take. And what follows, 253, 7 through 10. at the golden candlestick as a type of the church of Jesus Christ. Then we must always remember our boys and girls, they can understand it, that candlestick did not make the light, that it did not give the light, but that it was only the holder of that light. So Jesus Christ on the Sermon in the Mount has declared in Matthew 5 verse 16, let your light so shine that in the midst of the world that your Father may be glorified. Thus those candlestick, only a holder of light. And now concerning that candlestick, then alas, many times that candlestick becomes dull, that it is not so bright. And what does the Lord as many times then do? Then he polishes that candlestick. Robert Leighton, a Puritan, has written in a certain place that afflictions, adversity is the diamond dust heaven polishes its jewels with. We read in 1 Peter 1 verse 7, though the trial of your faith, which is much more precious than gold, though it be tried with fire, that it be found to the praise and to the honor and glory at the appearing of the Lord Jesus Christ. What a work that the Lord has to keep that candlestick polished. It is a blessing when it may be by the Lord's goodness and his mercies that we become so small, so humble, and that we may truly be shining lights. The prophet Jeremiah in Lamentations 4 verse 1 has written that the gold has become dim. Then the angel that talked with me answered and said unto me, knowest thou not what these be? Prophet, art thou a master in Israel and knowest not these things? Then we see that the children of God, with everything that they have learned, with everything that they have experienced, that they need to be taught continually a blessing when they may receive instruction, when they may sit at the feet of the great prophet. And now the prophet, did he now become angry with the angel? No. Then in his honesty, and I said, no, my Lord. Our second thought, the necessary encouragement in this vision. The Lord comforts the comfortless. He grants courage to the discouraged. He instructs the ignorant, grants hope to the hopeless. We have so many examples. Oh, Elijah, when he was given to look at that golden candlestick, and when he was so discouraged, he had just met Obadiah. What a courage that grants when we may meet those that truly feared the Lord. What a surprise it must have been for the prophet. But in his discouragement, then we look at the black side of things. Then Elijah has forgotten about Obadiah. And then he said, Lord, that church, we have heard it from the confession of faith that Gideon the Bree has mentioned it in the time of Elijah. He said, Lord, I am now the only one left of that golden candlestick, and I am so discouraged I cannot say that it glitters gold. Oh, it is true on Mount Carmel. There he has glittered, but now because of unbelief, he has become so discouraged. Daniel, the latter chapters of his book with his visions, then the Lord was given to instruct, to encourage. Think of the Apostle Paul when he was in Corinth, in 1 Corinthians 18, also very cast down. But then the Lord has come and said, oh, Paul, fear not. No man shall hurt thee, because I have much people in this city. What an encouragement for the church. Is that ever our question, congregation? What do you think? Shall there now be many? Of course, they are the secret things of the Lord. That there may be many amongst us that must and shall be gathered, that we may become a living member of that living church. May the prayers be multiplied to that end. To mention one more example, think of Paul on that trip to Rome, and where there has come such a great storm for 14 days, not eaten, not drunk. And then in Acts 27, the verses 22 through 24, then Paul was given to confess on that ship that an angel, the Lord whom I serve, stood with me and promised that there would be no loss of life. And then we read in verse 6, then he answered, that was the angel that stood with him. Then he answered and spake unto me, saying, this is the word of the Lord unto Zerubbabel. Zerubbabel was the prince that has been sent together with Joshua the high priest. Zerubbabel was of the house of Judah, was of a descendant of that God-fearing Uzziah. Then the Lord has also fulfilled what we read in chapter 3, verse 7. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, if thou wilt walk in my ways, and if thou wilt keep my charge, then thou shalt also judge my house, and shall also keep my courts, and I will give thee places to walk among these that stand by. So the Lord has chosen Zerubbabel, that he may be the leader of the remnant that may return, and also be used for the rebuilding of the temple. Oh, then undoubtedly Zerubbabel has also come into the guilt, that they have hearkened at the first to that letter of the king of the Medes and the Persians, that the temple has come to a standstill. Nevertheless, this is the word of the Lord unto Zerubbabel. Zerubbabel, who was responsible to lead and to guide the rebuilders of the temple, then it cannot be many discouragements. What a discouragement there can be in the church, especially for those that are called to labor therein. What a discouragement it can be when it becomes so still, when it is so little heard that sons and daughters are born in Zion. What a discouragement when the church becomes so world-conformed, of course, as Zerubbabel to become discouraged with himself, that he is not of gold, that he has to confess of self that he is black. And nevertheless, the divine commandment that he was called upon, that the temple may be rebuilt. And now the Lord has promised in this vision, oh, that the temple shall be finished, Do we not read in Psalm 138 that the Lord will perfect that which he has begun? Thy mercy, O Lord, endureth forever. Forsake not the work of thine own hands. Do we not read in Philippians 1 verse 6, being confident of this very thing, that he which has begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ? And now in this vision, have you noticed that in this vision, there is nothing of man, no work of man? When Zechariah has seen the vision of the golden candlesticks with everything connected with it, that there was not a hand of man, but that it was all of the Lord. Oh, that speaks of free and sovereign grace. That does not mean that the Lord does not use men. He uses simple instruments. And now the angel is given to say to the Lord concerning that candlestick, also the upholding of that candlestick, not by might nor by power. And the original can also be translated not by armies, thus not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, as saith the Lord of hosts. Thus that is the powerful and the loving work of the Holy Spirit concerning the building, the upholding, the preserving, the comforting of the golden candlestick of the Lord Jesus Christ, that man's work is completely excluded. We repeat it. The Lord uses man. 1 Corinthians 3, the verses 6 and 7. Paul that is planted, Apollos that is watered, but it is the Lord that giveth the increase, and to that end all the honor unto the Lord. Thus, Zerubbabel. Many questions, many thoughts, many discouragements. Also the builders, filled with many fears. Shall the temple now ever be finished? Then the Lord is saying to Zerubbabel, the church, that is not your cause, not your work, but it is my cause, my work, and my glory. And therefore, that temple shall be finished. What an encouraging word. It speaks of the work of the Holy Spirit. We have heard of his manifold works in Lord's Day number 20, of the Heidelberg Catechism, also the blessings which the Spirit grants to his church, not by might, not by power. We have our responsibility. The Lord uses means. Ecclesiastes 9 verse 10. Whatever thy hand findeth to do, do it with all thy might. We are called to instruct. Thus also a special word for fathers and mothers to be faithful. Those builders, they were not sitting on an easy chair. They were working diligently, hopefully, prayerfully, that the prayers have been multiplied, that the temple may be finished. But Psalm 127, except the Lord build the city, the builders build in vain, except the Lord watcheth over the city. The watchman waketh but in vain. Thus, we need the blessing of the Lord. No, fathers and mothers, we cannot convert our children. we cannot give them a new heart. But with God's help, we can, and we must instruct them, and perhaps at times also discouraged, because who can bring a clean out of an unclean? Then we shall see many times our image in our children, and perhaps sometime discouraged that it seems to be in vain. But not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord of hosts, that is the God of the armies. That is that Almighty God. And the Lord has promised in His word that it shall not be in vain. The Lord uses, He gathers His church by word and by spirit. Thus, what a message that the prophet could bring to Zerubbabel. Not by might nor by power. Zerubbabel, undoubtedly many times, you were thinking of the king of the Medes and the Persians. And you were thinking of their mighty army. And then you were looking upon the builders. You try to encourage them, but you can see it, that they do not really believe you, that they are filled with so much fear, afraid, that it shall all come to nothing. But, oh, Zerubbabel, not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, has already been fulfilled, Zerubbabel. When you were in Babylon, then you have thought, how can the promise of the Lord ever be fulfilled, that us poor people with no weapons can ever return to the promised land? Not by might, not by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. Then we read simply in Ezra 1 verse 1 that it was the Spirit of the Lord that has stirred up the king of the Medes and the Persians, Cyrus, at that time, that he has given a verdict, a command, a decree, that they may and they must return, and with the command, with supplies, and for sacrifices. The wonders of a wonder-doing God. Therefore, Zerubbabel, not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. And that is not only with that outward temple. That is even more so with the building of the spiritual temple. There's already far finished congregation. What a lively stones have been added to that temple. Just coming closer to completion. But there are still stones that need to be added. They read in 1 Peter 1, the verses 4 and 5. And to that end, when we read in our text, not by might, nor by power, but by my Spirit, then how necessary that we may be given. But even with our understanding, that we continually beg of the Lord for that wonderful, that loving, that irresistible work of the Spirit. The Song of Solomon 4 verse 16, it speaks of that north wind and of that south wind. The north wind of uncovering and the south wind of the gospel. And that work of the Spirit, that loving and powerful work that is so powerful that there is no one upon the earth, even the most hardened criminal, that can resist that work. Even a Manasseh that has filled Jerusalem with the blood of the saints, because they read in Isaiah 43 verse 13, I, the Lord, will work, and who shall let it? Not by might nor by power. The word must be brought to that end over the ages. What a missionary. Christ has given the command in Matthew 28 verse 19 that all nations must be taught, they must be baptized. But the apostles, the missionaries, and all those that are called to labor, parents and teachers, given to realize that the Lord must grant the application. May it be encouragement, but may it also be turned into a prayer to be humbly to beg of the Lord, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. Then I hear a soul ask, but shall it now ever be finished? Souls that may believe that the Lord has begun cannot deny. They have many beloveds, but perhaps has become so still. Shall it ever be completed? Shall my sins ever be pardoned? Or shall it come out that I am only a temporal believer? The true people of God, they have much trouble therewith, but we hope to hear, hope to leave it for the next time. Not only an encouragement, but also the promised completion of this vision, and so the Lord will finish what his hand has begun. Amen. Let us close. Lord, then we have heard that thou hast given such precious instruction, but also encouraged to the prophet that he may tell to Zerubbabel and to the builders, that he may and that he must continue to labor in thy kingdom. And so it is with us and our children, Lord. Then the seed of thy word must continue to be sown, and then each time by renewal so necessary, that we are given to beg of thee, that thou may bless it indeed, because it is not by power nor by might, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. Lord, wilt thou also do it in this day, that it may be heard that lively stones, that they have been added to that spiritual temple. Watch over us in this day. Grant traveling mercies to and fro. Bring us under the means of grace in this evening hour. Forgive us of all of our sins. In Jesus' name, amen. Our closing Psalter 429. The fourth stanza, Lord, though I walk mid trouble sore, thou wilt restore my faltering spirit. Though angry foes my soul alarm, thy mighty arm will save and cheer it. And what follows, 429, the fourth stanza. receive the blessing of the Lord and depart in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen.